Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to What Trinix Podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a mom of four. I have four kids between the ages of 13 and 7. So they've kind of been my life. Up until recently, I graduated with my master's in library and information science. And I actually accepted my first full-time library position today.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So now I am officially a librarian. My path to get there was a little rough. I have an engineering degree and a master's in theological studies, and now working as a librarian. So
I love this. So, and you also are one of the co-hosts for the Buzzing Mom Movement. So talk to us about the podcast.
Yes.
Becky has been a long-term friend of the show. We go and chit-chat. She's one of my go-to friends. I go and check on her every day. But I haven't met you. She recommended a few. She's like, you need to talk to her. So talk to us about the podcast and your role. And
right. I kind of got involved in the podcast by just sliding into DMs with Becky. At that point, I didn't know she lived really close to me. I actually used to live where she lives now. So I became a Patreon, started getting involved more. And then she kind of just sucked me into her orbit. And yeah, I became a part of the regular Sunday and Wednesday episodes. Wednesdays, we kind of do a book club style review episode. And then Sundays are all kinds of different things. Trope talks, what's happening in the book world. Sometimes we create rock bands or sports teams or just a bunch of wrecks.
Yes. I just did an episode a couple of weeks ago about mystery rom-coms.
Yeah.
Talked all about that little niche that's kind of like millennial mysteries, but with romance. And they're perfect if you don't want to do romantic suspense because it's too triggering.
Because I listened to the episode and it's the perfect blend if you're not ready for
I think the author we're talking about, she has written some millennial mysteries. So she has the rom-coms. So we're all in the same space.
Yes, we are. We are.
We'll put a link to the show, but the show is available. It goes live every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can just log into YouTube or you can listen to your favorite podcast player the next day. And then on Wednesday nights, there's a show and there's a great Discord community too. So definitely join all the things about Buzzing About Romance. They're a friend to the show. So
thanks. We appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. So Jenny, talk to us about what made you decide to get a master's degree in library and information sciences. What made you decide to?
Right. So as my kids were getting older, it was time for me to find something to do. And my husband asked me, if I could do anything, what would I do? And it was I said, I would do books. And at that time, book bans were all the rage. Let's see how many books we can ban. And I was like, I can fight people without books. That's fine. I can do that. So I looked at getting my master's was kind of a on the whim thing. I was just I'll apply and see. And then once I got accepted, I was like, oh, shoot, I guess I need to do this. And I really enjoyed school. One of the things that drew me to the library is I feel the library does all the things the church says it's going to. So to me, a library is a community center. It's a place for resources. It's not just about the books. It's more about the people and connecting the people to other resources within the community. The library is one of the, maybe at this point, the last third space, a space where people can go without having to buy something or be part of something.
Yeah. Yeah, libraries are a place to go from if you need a printer, if you need Wi-Fi, it's not just books, if you need a camera sometimes. Actually, my library has cameras. If you need a study room, you need a quiet room just to study or just to just get out of the house for a little bit.
Right. No, just some human interaction.
Just human interaction. The libraries offer that. Libraries are a great place of resource, not just for books, but there's just the Playtrick community. They do teach classes of like other stuff. They have book clubs. They have classes about writing or computer classes or basic literacy classes. They do so many events. So I would just strongly suggest like looking at your local library to see what community aspects they do. Most of the classes are free or they have a low cost. It might be a donation for the Friends of the Library. You can talk about the Friends of the Library because I think that's an interesting part. But I think libraries are the ultimate third space and we need to support that.
Yes, I completely agree. Like, if you're not a library user, my go-to is if you don't even know the library in your neighborhood, just Google or whatever search engine used library near me. But like library websites are definitely like your vein to knowing what's going on. There's kind of like a standard. Libraries try to be very accessible to everybody, no matter your ability. So even if you need like a website reader or some other device to help you navigate the website, likely your library's website is going to be easy to read. And calendars. Libraries love calendars. Usually they're color-coded by the age group that something's targeted to. And like you said, like events are usually free, or a lot of libraries I worked with, you have to register just so they know how many people to expect. But usually you can do that online or you can call. And I know like making a phone call isn't always fun, but seriously, librarians are always willing to talk to you. This is our thing. We purposely picked this job and trust me, we have heard it all. Yeah, you're not going to offend us.
Yeah. Libraries also do newspapers and magazines, any type of music curation. So don't think of it just books. You can get access probably to a local newspaper. They might have access to it. And a lot of times, some libraries offer New York Times, West Wall Street Journal, and all those different circulations. So if you want to keep up with the news, and you're like, I don't want to pay for the price, because a lot of times they're asking for subscription. Libraries may offer like a 1 day or 2 day or 3 day subscription to it. And they have a lot of Indolibby, which is, we'll talk about that. They have access to magazines, not just from the US, but for all over the world. And those are free to use and are free to read and peruse as usual. And you don't have to, wait for them. They're easy.
Right.
They're the quick things you can read all day.
Yes. Yeah. The library I used to work at, you couldn't check out the most recent, subscription, the most recent issue, but any back issue, you could check out. Like, people would definitely leave with, stacks of Home and Garden magazine or something like that, too.
Yes.
So if you are a bride, don't buy all those bridal magazines that you're just going to throw away.
Look at that. Yeah, I didn't think about brides, but yes, I think this is a perfect, I need to look for back issues and stuff like that. Let's talk about digital lending, because I think that's the most known within our community, because they might use audiobooks, might use Kindle in specific, but talk to us about digital lending and the different platforms that they use, because it's not just Libby. There's Hoopla, there's eCloud or Cloud Services. I think they changed the name. So,
Yeah, Libby's the big one that most libraries are using, which is run by OverDrive. And it depends on what your library has. That's very connected to your library's catalog. I just saw today, actually, that they put out a new feature that it's called Inspire Me, but we'll talk about, you need a library card usually to go to Libby. So library card, again, go to your library's website and find out where. I live in Ohio, so I can get a lot of digital library cards just for being an Ohio resident. Don't actually have to go to the library physically unless I would want to check out a physical book. So definitely check out what your state offers, because you might be able to get access to different catalogs that have more than what your current library offers. And then, there's books, audiobooks, magazines, newspapers, all of that through Libby. And then the feature that I was talking about that just like I just saw it come out today is called Inspire Me. So you can inspire me and then you select like nonfiction, fiction books for young adults and then like some topics that you would like to see. And then it will give you like 5 to 6 books.
That's even better. That'll make your own mood list, your mood reading list.
Yes. Yeah. You know. And it will curate it to the catalog that you are in. So it's not going to give you a book that you can't check out or can't put on hold.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the libraries are based on circulation. There are different ways to get different library cards, depending on your state you may have. I think California, Colorado, New York, Ohio, based on my research, and Pennsylvania have like different lending libraries that I know of. There might be check on your state and guidance with that. I think Illinois had some sort of, when I was in Chicago, they had a consortium with it. Yeah. So there's different places to check your state. The library funding comes from the state and might be going through property taxes. So it depends on, and that there may be the reasons why some funding is more or less. And so a good place to advocate is call your state representative or call your local representative about the funding to make sure the libraries get funded, because if they have more money, then they can spend more money on you. This is where your taxes come from. So yes, this is where you can make an impact. You can actually make an impact at a local level as opposed to what's happening in the bigger level.
Right. And that, as an Ohioan, that is something we saw. Like the federal cuts have hurt libraries, but also in Ohio, we had state cuts that we were able for, we didn't get as much back as we wanted to, but the public was able to like push back enough that we did get some of the funding restored. And there's some other issues that I will think
to. Yes, I know. I lived in New York City. So I lived in New York City for a long, I live in Jersey, but I used to work in New York City. So I was eligible because of my tax. I pay taxes in New York.
Okay.
And so my library was New York Public Library and Brooklyn Public Library, but New York Public Library was my home library. And it was like, it's pretty much a common thing to be like, the city of New York, will, like mayor will cut the library and all the sort of things. And it's like services like Sunday services, like services were third party, and especially in the city of New York, like bathrooms, it's like such an essential thing. And like libraries, that place. And so I'm pretty aware of, we just have to fight, and fighting might mean like signing a petition, call your representative, getting the voice heard, posting on Instagram saying, please do not cut my library time. There are ways to be activism that doesn't require you to lose your mind. But I think that's where you can make the biggest bang for your money of impact or activism that you can do.
Right. Like here, we did a bunch of letter campaigns because the representatives, I mean, they personally probably are not opening them, but somebody had to open the mail.
No, they have to track them. They have to track them.
So, like, someone's got to open that. So they're more likely to see it than maybe a phone call or an email. And that did help. We had some pushback. Bathrooms are also a big deal here. We can't have feminine hygiene products in the men's restroom. So we've seen a lot of libraries just going to unisex bathrooms instead.
Yeah.
We're smart people, so we usually get around it. Like, librarians aren't the people you want to mess with.
You don't want to mess with libraries. Libraries are the biggest activists. Like, they're like, they don't want to mess with you. I live in Florida, so Florida has been dealing with a lot of book banning and a lot fun times, you know? Ugh. But I think I've been part of, as a non-resident, for 3 of my local libraries. Miami-Dade, which is amazing. They have a lot of Spanish services because Miami-Dade has a lot of Spanish-speaking communities, so they have a lot of Spanish services. Orange County also has a lot of Spanish services. Orange County actually offers a non-resident library card fee, and they're really friendly, and they're open for non-residents in the United States. So they're actually open for that. And then my local library, I live in Hillsborough, which is a weird district because it's basically a purple district, but it tells you where Florida's going. So a lot of like right now we're fighting the book banning in specific, because it's only one person. Usually it's like one kid who decides to write. Yeah. Like, I want to ban this book. And they have not even read the book.
That's usually it. I'm usually like, you think this book's bad? Like, no idea what's in here. Yeah. And one of the things like along those lines, going back to the digital, is like Hoopla, you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's more. Like, I see more audiobooks on mine. Again, it's going to depend on your library. Well, works a little different than Libby. Like, your library buys a tier catalog, and then the authors are paid by uses. And here in Ohio, we're seeing a lot of libraries just cut the service altogether. I think it's because it's a different operating system, like, as far as making money and, like,
yeah,
how the community is served. But yeah, we see either libraries cutting how many books you can check out a month or all together. And then there's Canopy, which is more multimedia, movies, TV shows, those kind of things. I haven't personally used that one a lot, but I know some people find it very beneficial. And I've seen libraries checking out like Roku sticks with HBO Max and Netflix and the streaming services. So you can borrow it for a week, binge watch your show, and give it back. So,
yeah. So you and Doug, this is where your funding goes in. I know I've been part of the Phoenix, Maricopa County, which you remember from the 2020 elections. Where were that county? But they actually do offer a very lower cost, like very great services, $25 for 6 months, $50 for a year. And they do have, you actually have to meet a librarian in person. You have to show your picture on camera. They got to get to know you, which is like a really fun thing to do when you're getting a library card. And they'll mail you your library card. They're like, hey, we just want to welcome you. And so they offer also music streaming too. So they have a service too. So definitely check those libraries. Like check some of those, see what your library can offer and see like maybe they have other services. I've seen some libraries offer LinkedIn, not LinkedIn Learning, which is the what it used to be. I've seen libraries that use Craftsy. So if you're looking for craft stuff, like they actually offer. So definitely check. Libraries may offer different services that may help you.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to like, maybe if your library doesn't offer it, maybe someone that they're in consortium with does, and you can access it either through them or they can get you to the people that can help you access it. Because librarians always want to get you the stuff. Like we're not keeping anything from people.
They just want to get us the stuff. Let's talk about requesting books to your library to buy, because I think people don't understand. Like, you can pre-order your books from your library. If you want to pre-order physical books, the library can buy them. You can burn them, and you don't need to have clutter. You can just return it. Instead of proving you're spending about pre-ordering a bunch of books in Barnes & Noble, maybe pre-order them from your library.
Yes. And again, that's going to depend like on your library's policy. But I know for me, sometimes it's hard for librarians like to know what their patrons want to read. That is like a monthly thing. Like most likely your library is buying books each month. They're trying to get a good selection. They want things that are going to circulate. So if you request some libraries have online forms. You don't even have to talk to somebody like, hey, you could just request it online. And one of the things I do often is I will put a book on hold on Libby before it comes out. I show my interest. And then if they see a lot of people are interested in it, they'll buy more copies. So you're more likely to get it quicker. And that is another thing, like as far as funding, like keep requesting the books. Like it shows that like people want these books. They want to use the library. It's kind of like a future promise to use those books. So yes, we might not get every book you want, but we try our best.
Yeah, I think some libraries limit about 10 books a month. But if you're planning, if you're thinking about, hey, I want to read this book, like this pop-up. If you think about popular authors, like you just give them a heads up. They'll put you on the list once you have requested. Yeah. They'll add you to the list. And Libby, there's also, if you go to Deep Search, you can click, if you look for the author or the book and it doesn't show up, you do Deep Search, which is like a new feature. And then there'll be like, if nobody has bought it, there'll be a click or link notifying me, and it'll notify you in the library that you're interested in this title. And then Libby will tell you, hey, your library acquired this. FYI, put it on hold. There might be a delay between not notifying me and then the putting it on hold. So you got to be checking on it, but you can check on it. Also, a good trick is to figure out what day your library acquires new books, because not libraries don't acquire books.
Right.
So if you know that Mondays is the day that your library acquires book, that's the day you're going to go and scroll through the new releases, and you can just see which ones are acquired.
You know that, man. You're on top of your stuff. Because it's
been a little libraries. I need someone to talk about this. But yes, I realized that trick because my calling, exciting, like going down to sleep mode, is to listen to Cozy Mystery and then go to Libby and then scroll. It's a much more healthy scroll than scrolling.
Then, yes, that is a very, maybe I should.
And then, and then what I do is I have tags, which is my only issue is that because I have so many tags, I wish there was like a search button. So then I have to scroll through the tags and like I create listicles of tags of like books that are fitting to whatever mood I'm in. So I essentially do my Inspire Me. I just build it, the little listicles around it, which it'll come soon in Substack as a day list because I figure out a list and I'm like, oh, we can just share them with you guys. But this is like my nighttime scrolling. So then I realized I was like, there's no new books until this day of the week for this library and then this day of the week for this other library. And I'm like, oh, well, there we go. And I do buy like a lot of non-resident library cards just for research purpose. So yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about Penny Reed. Let's talk about let's switch conversation. Denny, you're more than welcome to come back and talk more library stuff. We might just open up to if the audience have any questions about library specific things. Jenny can come back and talk about answers to those frequently asked questions and stuff. But I'm
more than happy to talk about library.
Yes, I am curious to hear your take of Penny Reed. I've tried a couple of her books. Some of them work, some of them don't. But it's been a different era. That was like in the 20 before 2020. So it's been 5 years. So I'm pretty much like she has built a whole world because it's not just Penny Reed's her books. She actually has helped other license her world to other authors and they've built more books in the world. So there's a whole different Marvel universe created in Penny Reed.
Yes, there is. So, yeah, I will like preference like Penny Reed is not for everybody. She is definitely like a quirky, lengthy, like she writes longer books, more involved books. I found her when I was getting back to reading for fun. I read a lot of nonfiction books when I was in theology school. And when my second child has cystic fibrosis. So when he was in the hospital and it was just me and him hanging out and he was a baby, we weren't having a lot of conversation. So yeah. I needed to find something to do. And that's kind of when I found my joy in reading again. And Penny was one of the first books I picked up because actually her pen name Penny Reed comes from Penny Reed, like her book was 99¢.
Yeah.
So that's the cheapest she could make it on Amazon. And she has a really quirky story about how her first book came out. So, and it pretty sure if you search it, she's talked about it quite a few times. But her second book actually came out a couple months after my second child was born and had a cystic fibrosis patient in it. So even though I already liked her first book, like it was definitely that like stronger connection. And I've been a stan ever since. I have all of her books. And she had a little rough period there, but she is cranking up the books this year. Yes. And she came out with one this month. It's part of a trilogy, Inheritance, Reproduction. Oh, what the last one is. But it's the Elements of Biology. So she finished her science collection. And she has her last Christmas book coming out in December. And she is also Source Books is producing her, like distributing her Winston Brother books, which are probably her most popular series.
Yeah.
So I think two books are out right now. They had a little issue with, they said that like beards didn't sell. So,
oh.
So there was an issue with whether they were going to change the covers or not, but then they decided not to change the covers. So I guess we're going to stick with the bearded guys.
There you go. So I think Winston Brothers is probably the most popular series that people, it's a good, do you think it's a good entry point, or do you suggest other places for entry points?
I think it's a good entry. So here's the thing, like, the first Winston Brothers book is not my favorite. So okay. I always tell people not to start there. Cletus is the fan favorite, and he is book three, which he will be the one coming out next year. And you can probably easily find audio in Hoopla or Libby, possibly the ebook as well. Like, I know, not sure if they're still in, I don't think they're on KU anymore.
KU books now can be bought for the library. They can be added to the library catalog.
Right.
So I start to see those actually in my, when we scrolling, I was like,
yes.
I have a KU ton of audios on KU, and even some of the authors are moving wider now to libraries and stuff. So KU books, you may start to see them coming up.
Yes, you know, more often in library. Yeah. And Penny does, she usually has her book wide for a week, goes into KU for about 3 months, and then goes back to wide and kind of rolls them in and out. Her first series was Knitting in the City. I really love that series. I definitely recommend it, and it holds up pretty well, even though they're over 10 years old now.
Yeah, because those came out when I was starting to read, and I started reading 2016, so they were like 2015,
I think her, because I know Friends Without Benefits came out in 2014.
Because I think a lot of people before 2020, they were reading the Winston Brothers and stuff. Like, that was like a popular series and stuff.
And Banana Pants, which is a second gen of the Knitting in the City, but you do not have to read Knitting in the City to read Banana Pants, is perma free on everywhere, audio. And I'm not sure the audio is perma free everywhere, but it is on our website. So you can download it through Book Funnel on her website.
That's perfect.
So good place to start.
This is a great place to start. This is a great, there's some book recommendations. We did talk enough about libraries, and God bless. We just need to be active and just get yourself a library card. Doesn't really matter. It's free. Did you know it's free?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, librarians are all about getting the free stuff.
You live in the town. Even if you're a renter, you live in the town. You can get a library card. If you're a renter, you just have to show up your lease. That's really what it comes down to, it. Or show your driver's license with your address.
Yes. Or sometimes we'll take like a utility bill, like just
utility
show
bill. The- pretty much. And if you're in a state that you work in the library, you work in the state, this is what happened in New York. I live in New Jersey. I work in New York. I pay New York taxes. I had to show an ID with like my physical, and like basically their pay stub with my showing that I actually show pay taxes with the physical address in New York. Or I actually had my work ID, my work badge actually worked because it had my picture, it has the company, and it has the address that says clearly New York City. So you can actually show, like, if you're in many towns, if you work in a different town, different county, check if they allow you to get a library card, because you may be paying taxes part of your thing. So there's all the options. Encourage your parents to get their library card too. If they live in a different town, encourage them to get a library card. We would like to have more circulation of people.
Yes, especially as we fight for funding, please get your library card so we can show that people are using the library. And I mean, even just coming in, like, browse around, you might be surprised what you find.
Yes. So, all right, Jenny, tell us where you can find out live.
Well, I'm running for school board, so my online presence is a little muted at the moment. So probably buzzingaboutromance.com is the best place. You can see some of my reviews. I'm on Goodreads.
Yeah.
And check out the podcast.
The podcast every Sunday and Wednesday. And join the Discord, join the Patreon.
Yes.
Yes, enjoy. That's a great community. If you're looking for romance recommendations, specifics, or just having a place to talk to and make friends online, the podcast is a great place. That Buzzing About Romance is a great place to do. So Jenny, thank you so much for coming in the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. This is the best way to support the podcast. If you would like to see more book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com for episodes and other opportunities for you to enjoy the community. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.